Good morning, River Oaks. Good morning. I will be reading for our hearing today our scripture. Our scripture is found in Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And it reads as follows. And when he returned from Capernaum after some days, it was reported that he was at home. And many were gathered together, so that there was no more room, not even at the door. And he was preaching the word to them. And they came, bringing to him a paralytic carried by four men. And when they could not get near him because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. And when they had made an opening, they let down the bed on which the paralytic lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some of the scribes were sitting there questioning in their hearts, "Why does this man speak like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" And immediately Jesus, perceiving his spirit in his spirit that they thus questioned within themselves, said to them, "Why do you question these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home." And he rose and immediately picked up his bed and went out before them all, so that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw anything like this." Mark chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. So the reading of God's word.
Amen. Good morning, River Oaks. This truly is the day that the Lord has made. We are rejoicing, and we are glad in it. Certainly, it is my pleasure to be standing here and to be a part of this wonderful congregation, this community of faith, and particularly on this local missions, local outreach Sunday. Certainly want to thank God for my beautiful wife, the Reverend Dr. Victoria Hanschel, for reading the scripture on this morning. She is certainly a powerful preacher in her own right, and I'm grateful to have her with me, not just this morning, but in my life. And I certainly want to also give God praise in his absence for my friend, Dr. David Beatty, the great pastor of this local congregation. We pray for his safe travels as he returns home this week. Local missions, local outreach. And before I get in trouble, I've got to do this as well. I want to send a shout out to my parents and my sister who are watching in the Bahamas this morning. So we're local, but we're also global and international. So we thank God for them watching as well. I want to speak to you this morning with this thought in mind: united to serve. United to serve. One of the things that I love to do most in this world is to travel. Now, I know that doesn't make much sense on a local mission Sunday to open up talking about traveling, but hang out with me for a moment. One of the most impactful trips I've had in my life was the opportunity to travel on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And many pilgrims who have visited the Holy Land have come back with a similar testimony. Many people have come saying that the Bible just came alive to them by visiting these historical biblical sites. And the same can be said of myself, that I saw some things on that trip that made me have a greater appreciation for the scriptures themselves. And one of the places that became much more meaningful to me as a result of my visit to the Holy Land is the town in which the events of our text for this morning take place: the town of Capernaum. Now, I must admit that I'd never paid much attention to Capernaum before I visited the Holy Land. But on our very first day on the pilgrimage, I encountered this sign outside the gate of the town. It said, Capernaum, the town of Jesus. Now, while most people, myself included, generally associate Jesus with other towns, much like Bethlehem, the town where he was born, or Nazareth, the town where he was raised. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Or even Jerusalem, the city, the town where he died. It is Capernaum that bears the distinction of being called the town of Jesus, because this is where Jesus chose to live and make as his home base for his 3 years of public ministry. It made me question, it made me wonder, why would Jesus choose Capernaum as his home base? Why would he choose this town, this city of all places in the Galilee to be his base of ministry? And perhaps the clue is in the meaning of the name Capernaum. For Capernaum, it literally means the village of comfort. The village of comfort. Can you imagine the Savior of the whole world, who came to save each and every one of us, makes as his home base the village of comfort? And on this local missions Sunday, my sisters and brothers, perhaps that ought to be our assignment, our goal, our desire to seek more ways that we as a church can become united to serve, to make our city and even our county a place of comfort for those who are in need. Thank you, Reverend Wells. I hear you. It's in our text today that we find four men who embody this mission of being united with a servant's heart. Now, I've heard many sermons and stories and talks about these four men, and often they are called the four friends. But as I read the scriptures, there is no place that describes them as friends. It simply says that they were four men. So for all we know, these could have been four random strangers who were on their way to see Jesus and encountered this paralyzed man along the way. And instead of continuing along their business, they decided to stop, band together, and give some help. I want you to picture with me these men. They have heard that Jesus is at home. He has made his way from preaching and ministering throughout Galilee, and Jesus is home, and everyone hears that Jesus is at home, and so they're all rushing to Jesus' house to hear a word from the Lord. Some are coming to hear a good sermon, and some maybe they heard that Jesus' ministry had a good children's church, and maybe they heard that Jesus' ministry had a good coffee bar in the living room, and maybe they were rushing to see what they could hear, what they can get, what they could receive. But these four men were not so preoccupied with their own needs that they did not see and help meet the needs of somebody else. Sisters and brothers, how often do we miss moments to help others get to Jesus because we are so preoccupied with our own needs and our own agendas? I'm almost ashamed to admit it, but there are far too many times that I've been more like the priest and the Levite in Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. I've often been so preoccupied with what I'm supposed to do and doing the things that I want to do that I miss the opportunity to minister to someone who is in need. I too have been so busy on my way to see something good that I miss an opportunity to actually be something good. That is not the story of these four men. In fact, in this text, these four men teach us four key principles of how we ourselves can be united to serve. The first thing is found in verse number 3 of our text. I want to read it to you. Mark chapter 2, verse 3 reads like this from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, they came to Jesus bringing a paralytic carried by four men. The first thing this text is tailored to teach us is that they were united to carry him. Y'all know how I roll. Let the church say, carry him. All right, y'all real good talking back to the preacher this morning. They were united to carry him. These four men, they saw a paralyzed man in need and didn't just walk past him. They stopped and they banded together and used their collective strength to carry him to Jesus. My brothers and sisters, every day we encounter people in our community who have been paralyzed by their problems, immobilized by their issues, and are stuck in their situations. And it is our responsibility as people of faith to stop, to band together, and to carry them to Jesus. Oftentimes, we as people of faith, we stop at trying to convince people that they need to go to Jesus. But while convincing is necessary, it is often not all sufficient to get someone to Jesus. Can you imagine if this paralyzed man was sitting on the side of the road and these four men decided to tell him, you need to go and see Jesus. You know what's wrong with you? You need some Jesus in your life. They could have convinced him all day long, but because he was paralyzed, he didn't have the tools necessary to get to Jesus for himself. So we must go beyond trying to convince people with our arguments and go to carrying people with our actions. I feel like preaching on this Sunday morning that we have to carry those who are in need to our Jesus. Somebody shout, I've got to carry. They carried him. And it required all four of them to carry him. Can you imagine if only two of them decided to carry him? What that meant was that the two who carried were carrying unnecessary burdens because somebody else didn't show up to carry their weight. And in church, sadly, there are too many people who are sitting on the sidelines watching other people carry all of the weight, the burden of ministry. But all of us have to band together to carry people to Jesus. They were united to carry him. But not only were they united to carry him, but secondly, they were united to climb with him. Let the church say, climb with him. It's in the book, Mark chapter 2, verse 4 says, since they were not able to bring him to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above him. On their way to carrying this man to Jesus, the Bible tells us that they ran into an obstacle called the crowd. But instead of giving up and turning around and going home, they did whatever was necessary to help get this man to Jesus. The text tells us that they went and removed the roof above Jesus. But in order to remove the roof, they first had to get to the roof. So use your sanctified imagination with me. And if you know anything about the ancient Israelite houses, they had roofs that were accessible by external stairs on the outside of the building. And these four men, they carried this man, and then they climbed with him up to the roof. It must have been difficult, first of all, to carry a paralyzed man, but it was even more difficult to climb upstairs with this paralyzed man. But they did not allow the obstacles to stop them from getting this man to Jesus. They climbed up to the top of the house while still carrying this paralyzed man. This is what I love. They weren't focused on just going higher themselves and leaving the man behind. The problem is that some people only want to climb the ladder of success for their own lives and for their own families. But they didn't climb the ladder of success by themselves. These men ensured that the paralyzed man made it to the top with him. I wonder, sisters and brothers, how many people in our community that God is calling us to climb with, to help them to get from where they are to where God desires for them to be. In our local outreach, we should not just seek to offer people a hand out, but we ought to offer them a hand up, to get them up from where they are to the place that God had designed for their life. They climbed with him. They were united to carry him. They were united to climb with him. The text says they removed the roof that was above Jesus. And the third thing that this text is tailored to teach us is that they were united to care for him. Let the church say care for him. I want you to read inherent in the text. It says in verse 4, the B clause, it says that they lowered the mat on which the paralytic lay. These men didn't just uncover the roof and throw the man in there. They didn't uncover the roof and just drop him at Jesus' feet. They didn't say, all right, we checked the box. Our job is done. We did our hour of volunteering for the week or for the month, and now we can go on about our daily life. No, the text says that they lowered him to the ground. In other words, they handled him with care. In our local outreach efforts, we must take care to handle people with care. We must be intentional about showing extra care and concern and love for the people we are called to serve, especially those who are vulnerable and marginalized. It would have been easier and certainly much quicker to just drop the man at Jesus' feet and say that their job was done. But these men took the extra time and the extra effort to make sure that they did not do more damage in the process trying to get him to Jesus. I've listened to the public discourse, sadly, on a lot of Christian television and radio stations and seen many people who call themselves servants of Christ do damage to already damaged people because we don't handle them with care. Brothers and sisters, as we seek to serve Jesus and as we are united to serve our community, let's make sure that love and care is central to everything that we do and everything that we say. They lowered him carefully down to the feet of Jesus. These men were united to serve. First of all, they were united to carry this man. They were united to climb with this man. And they were united to care for this man. And because they were united to carry, to climb, and to care, something miraculous happens in this man's life. As Dr. Victoria read in the scripture, the Bible says that when Jesus saw their faith, he says to the man, "Your sins are forgiven." He receives the miracle of forgiveness because of their faith, because of their outreach efforts, because of their willingness to sacrifice and to serve. And when God began to transform this man's life from the inside out, those in the crowd began to speculate and some began to criticize in their hearts, saying, who but God has the ability to heal and to save and to forgive sins? And Jesus heard this and Jesus responds by saying, just so you know that the Son of Man has the ability to forgive sins. He tells the man, rise, take up your mat, and go home. This man, he receives the miracle of forgiveness and the miracle of healing. And something miraculous also happens in the text because after this, the Bible teaches us that not only were these men united to carry, to climb, and to care, but fourthly and finally, they were united to celebrate with him. Let the church shout, celebrate. When these men saw the paralytic receive his healing, the Bible tells us that immediately he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. As a result, they were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." I come to tell somebody at River Oaks on this morning that when we get united to serve, when we are united to carry, to climb, and to care, that God will give give us opportunities to celebrate with those whose life he is transforming. The Bible says that they began to give God the glory, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." The crowd responded by celebrating with this man whose life had been transformed. And I know we just celebrated 25 years of ministry of this great church, but I've come to tell somebody that as we begin to carry and climb and care for those around us in our local community, that God will give us opportunity to celebrate like we've never celebrated before. We too will be able to say, like the people in this crowd, "We've never seen anything like this." Is there anybody that's ready for God to do exceeding and abundantly above all that you could ask or think, according to the power that is at work with us? I want to know, is there anybody that's ready to celebrate? Because the blind will be able to see, the lame will be able to walk, the deaf will be able to hear, the sinner will come back to Jesus because we've been united to serve. I feel like telling somebody this morning that God's about to do something supernatural in our midst, that eyes have not seen and ears have not heard. It has not even entered. We've never seen anything like this. I wish you would encourage the person next to you and tell them God's about to do something you've never seen before in your life, in your family, in your home, and in your community. Somebody shout, "We've never seen anything like this." God is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. And we can celebrate in advance and give God glory. Somebody shout, "Thank you, Jesus." For God is able to do everything that he said he would do, and we are united to serve. Come on and give the Lord a hand clap of praise in this church. Immediately, he got up, took the mat, and went out in front of everyone. They were all astounded and gave glory to God, saying, "We've never seen anything like this." I don't know about you, but I don't just want to come for church as usual. I don't want to just have a mundane spiritual existence with God. But I'm ready for God to do some things in my life, in my family, in my community, in my church, that I can, like these people in the crowd said, "I've never seen anything like this." It happens when we become united to serve. It happens when we become willing to carry those who can't carry themselves, to climb with those who can't climb for themselves, to care for those who can't care for themselves, and sometimes to celebrate with those who can't celebrate for themselves. And when we are united to serve, that's when God will do amazing things in our midst. Everyone stand. Let's pray. The theme of today is United with the Servant's Heart. And this message is called United to Serve. I wish that you would indulge me for a moment. And as a sign of faith and connection with this theme of unity, if you don't mind, would you grab the hand of the person next to you? And let's unite together as a sign of faith. And let us pray. Father, we thank you today for your word, for the challenge of your word. We pray, God, that you would challenge us to become the church you have called us to be, as individuals and as a collective unit. God, we don't want to just be members of the crowd who walk past the paralyzed people in our community, those who have become paralyzed by their problems, immobilized by their issues, and are stuck in their situations. But God, we want to be agents of change, So God, we ask that you would unite us to carry those who need to be carried, to climb with those who need to go higher in their lives, to care for those who need to be lowered carefully to your feet, and to celebrate with them as you do miraculous things in their lives. And God, we thank you in advance for the mighty things you will do in our midst, of which we will be able to declare, we've never seen anything like this. It's in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus the Christ we pray, and all the people of God say, amen. Let's worship together.